Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Black Lives Matter. That is the slogan. That is the hashtag. That is what people have been saying ever since, well, George Zimmerman murdered, and yes, I say murdered, Trayvon Martin back the beginning of the summer. I believe it was murder, or at least, let's say, voluntary manslaughter. I realize that the jury found otherwise. But, you know, I have a right to my own opinion. I also have my right to my own opinion about Black Lives Matter. I support the movement. At the same time, I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding about the movement, about what Black Lives Matter means, and about, well, and there's even dissension within the Black Lives Matter movement. And nowhere is that more clear when a couple of women who claim to be from the Black Lives Matter movement, although later on other people from BLM denied they were part of the movement. Anyway, the two of them, you've probably seen the footage, came up on stage during a Bernie Sanders speech on Social Security Medicare, insisted that he give them the microphone, insisted that they stand 4.5 minutes to remember Michael Brown, and when he did do all of that, still wouldn't return the microphone to him until finally the politician walked off stage. Now, there's an article in Time magazine that basically argues that all forms of protest are justified, that given the murderous conduct of police all across America to unarmed black people, mostly black men, but as we've seen with Sandra Bland, even educated black women who know their rights can be murdered by the police, or at least taken in for absolutely no reason, as I think happened with Sandra Bland. There is a reason why people are so angry. And the retort, all lives matter, misses the point entirely. The point of the Black Lives Matter movement is not that black lives somehow matter more than white lives. The point is that in ordinary society today in America in 2015, they matter less. The argument with Black Lives Matter is wake up and note that black lives matter. There is an implicit assumption among police forces across the country that other lives matter, that white lives matter. That's sort of implicit. No one can imagine what happened to Sandra Bland in Texas. What happened to a white person? It could happen. As I said, the police shoot unarmed black people 7 times more than they shoot unarmed white people. So 1/8 of the time, a white person is getting injustice. And obviously, I'm against injustice no matter who it happens to. But the point of Black Lives Matter is that there is a systemic racism within some police, in virtually every police force in America, that leads the police to attack blacks more often, to stop African Americans for driving while black, walking while black, sometimes standing at a bus stop while black. That's the point of the Black Lives Matter movement. And so when people respond, all lives matter, they just don't get the point. Obviously, all lives matter. Of course, all lives matter. But there wouldn't be a need to say that black lives matter if there weren't a feeling that there's a specific injustice done solely to African Americans in America. Now, I don't believe in pain-offs. I learned this phrase at Yale Law School when that Jews should talking about the Holocaust and blacks talking about slavery and Latinos talking about discrimination against them and gay people talking about discrimination against them, that we should ever try to compare and contrast and complain and say, oh, the homeless people don't suffer as much as gay people don't suffer as much as black people don't suffer as much as blah, 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 blah. Our suffering is different. Misogyny, anti-female, sexism, sexual violence, domestic violence, is a different kind of harm from homophobia, is a different kind of harm from racism or nativism. And I've dealt with, I think, all of the issues on this show. Every one of them. Every ism, every opportunity for those who are different to be oppressed in America or around the world. They're all bad. I'm not going to compare one with the other. And that's, I think, what implicitly the All Lives Matter comment is. It's as if to say there is no significant harm being done solely to black people. And people who say that have their eyes closed. All of that being said, there are ways to conduct a protest that I think are effective, and there are ways that are ineffective. And knocking someone like Bernie Sanders off the stage is incredibly ineffective, particularly when you know Bernie Sanders' history. We talked at length yesterday about all Bernie Sanders had done in his lifetime to help racial equality in America, including a 15-day sit-in in college when the University of Chicago housing was favoring whites over blacks. Now, he didn't do this because some activist jumped on his stage. He did this because he believed in it. He participated in the Freedom Rides. He was part of the Congress of Racial Equality. This is a guy who went to the March on Washington. This is a guy who in the early 1960s, before what we think of as the major successes of the Civil Rights Movement, March on Washington. Obviously, there were civil rights sit-ins and so forth back, well, not only in the 50s, but earlier than that. But before the Civil Rights Act, before the Voting Rights Act, before Martin Luther King came on the national public stage, Bernie Sanders was there in his own way doing his best to help fight racial injustice. That's obviously not the only thing he cares about. He obviously cares very strongly about economic injustice, as well he should. There's a lot of injustices in the world. As I said, I don't believe in ever pitting one injustice against the other. The minute you say my pain is worse than your pain, or your pain is worse than my, your pain is worse than mine, I'm willing to accept. That's actually a very generous thing to say. But once we start comparing pain among the groups, it separates us all. And then minorities really become minorities. Because when you add up blacks and Jews and gay people and, yes, of course, women and Latinos and Asians and non-Christians and non-Protestants and atheists and people who weren't born in the United States of America, all these minorities, and they are each a minority, combined together absolutely form the majority. I mean, I guess there are, of course, white Protestant males from England who've been in this country for many generations and have intact families with never any healthcare problem who are rich and have never undergone any privation in their lives, I suggest that those people are a very, very small minority. And that's kind of the point, isn't it, of being a progressive, of being a Democratic Party, that we all celebrate each other's lives, that we appeal to diversity, that we seek out and fight injustice wherever it may rear its ugly head. So when two women claiming to be from the Black Lives Matter movement rushed Bernie Sanders' stage and insisted on speaking, I think it was the wrong thing to do. I really do. I just read an article in Time magazine that strongly disagrees with me by a woman named Darlene Cunha. She basically points out that the horror that's going on in black people's lives due to renegade law enforcement is so awful that it's perfectly fine to disrupt the speaking of someone who entirely agrees with them. I would say you want to disrupt someone, disrupt the people who disagree with you. Of course, they'd probably have these women arrested. But I was thinking, because, you know, I'm going to be a delegate soon, of what I would do if someone rushed my stage, because obviously I'm very sympathetic to the movement. I've done many shows on the horrific violence that occurs from law enforcement to particularly African Americans. And in fact, one of the things I ran on in my race was to require body cameras, because body cameras would absolutely protect citizens and the police. It would protect the truth. And that's the kind of thing that would make sure that police that do go beyond the line, that do kill, are indicted for murder. So I've put forward policy. And of course, you know, many of you who know me, I was on XM The Power. I was only the only white talk show host on a 24/7 station with the rest of African Americans. I've represented a Congressional Black Caucus. I've done, I put together a panel on what Bush has done for black people. Certainly racial justice is something I care very strongly about. And I was thinking, if someone were to rush my stage, I would say to them, hey, I agree with you. Black lives matter. That's why I've done, and I would talk about all the things I've done over the years for racial justice. I would talk about how going forward, I'm working to have body cameras in the Virginia State Legislature. And I'd say to them, look, if you want to talk, I'll give you my microphone to talk when I'm done speaking. You can either take it and ask me a question if you want to deal with me. If you don't want to deal with me, wait till I'm done, wait till all the questions are done, and then you can take the microphone. And if people stay, great. If they don't, they don't. But I don't like the idea that a couple people can come and hijack a microphone, particularly from someone who agrees with them. I don't think that's the right thing to do. And I think that kind of action actually leads people to be less sympathetic. There are people from the Black Lives Matter movement who specifically disown these two women, these two young women, and basically said they don't represent us. And of course, it's hard to represent them when there's no, this is a movement. It has no leader. It's just people who care about the incredible injustice that happens all too often between law enforcement and African Americans. I mean, that includes me. That, I'm sure, includes most of you, if not all of you. We're all part of Black Lives Matter. So it's very hard when you have these two people claiming to represent a movement when really they're just representing themselves. To me, the most awful, well, I don't know about most awful, but the thing that I remember most when I see that video is Bernie Sanders reaching out to shake one of those women's hands, and the woman put her hands up like she wasn't going to shake hands. Turns out they're from some kind of movement that basically wants to have revolution, tear down, I don't know, America. They actually remind me, I've had people take over my movements before. Remember, I'm a longtime citizen activist. I did a protest in 2000 when George Bush became president. Not because the American people voted for him, of course, but because the United States Supreme Court said we're going to throw out the people who voted for him. Even though Gore won, we're going to install Bush and a coup d'etat. Pretty strong stuff, and I had a pretty strong protest. But my protest at one point was overwhelmed by people from, I think they were from the Communist Party. They may have been from a local anarchist group that tried to co-opt the demonstration that I and others had worked so hard to start and basically make it into their own. They basically tried to take the stage. And you know what? I don't appreciate that. We don't represent them. I don't represent anarchy. I don't represent communism. I represent justice. At least I try to. Fairness in America. Equality. And so I have to say, I think Bernie Sanders was wrong to give them the microphone. I think he was. I think he should have done, in my humble opinion, tactically, what I said. I said, look, I support your cause. I'm going to tell you why I support your cause. And when I'm done speaking, you can ask me a question if you like, or make a 1 or 2 minute statement that I'll respond to. Or when I'm done, I'll give you the whole microphone. But I will not let you hijack my speech. And if you keep shouting and trying to shout me down, yeah, I'm going to have to ask someone to escort you out of here, which is really a shame because I agree with you. But at this point, the argument is not about whether Black Lives Matter, but whether or not we can have civil discourse. Maybe you disagree with me. Let me know. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Thank you. back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. In Seattle, a few days ago, Bernie Sanders had a rally about Social Security and Medicare, and this happened.
Thank you, Seattle, for being one of the most progressive cities in the United States of America.
We want an opportunity on the mic.
Get him in check and we're shutting this event down now.
If you do not listen to her, your event will be shut down right now. Your decision. Make a decision now.
So I hope you can hear that. They said if you don't let us speak right now, we're going to shut down your event right now. Make a decision right now. Very aggressive languages. Bernie Sanders reaches out to shake their hand. They refuse to shake his hand. And they do succeed in shutting down the event. I don't think that helps the cause. I'm curious to know what you think, though, at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Stephen from Maryland, welcome to the show.
Mark, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a little bit of a different take on the event. And I'm wondering if that may, if my take on it would change the way you saw things.
Okay.
First, it was not a Bernie event.
It was an event on Social Security and Medicare.
Bernie was invited to. And second of all, the person, Bernie, they never took the mic from Bernie. The event organizer handed the mic to the protester. I'm wondering if the take was different with those facts. I've looked at the video a couple times, and it seems that if Bernie had done anything other, it would have been very rude of him because it was not his event.
Well, what happened was the organizer, after the women interrupted his speech and said, "We're going to take over. We're going to shut this down if you don't give us the microphone right now," I saw the organizer, the guy in the white hat. He goes over and he talks to Bernie Sanders. We don't hear what they say. And Bernie, I assume, gave permission because the guy comes back to them and then lets them speak. And then they speak for, and then they have a moment of silence for 4.5 minutes.
Exactly.
After the moment of silance, they still refuse to hand the microphone back over to Bernie Sanders. And at that point,
it wasn't Bernie's microphone. That's my take. It wasn't Bernie's microphone. It was the event organizer's microphone.
Do you think the event organizers should have allowed that to happen?
No, but that's a different take, isn't it?
Well, either way,
I understand the complexity, I mean, or your take on it, but I think that we are a little bit overreacting when we're saying Bernie did this, when in fact Bernie was a guest. It wasn't his event.
Well, I'm not. So you think I'm attacking Bernie here?
I think a lot of people are that have the same kind of take.
I'll tell you what, we got to take a break, but I want to hear more from you, Stephen. Just got to take a break right now. Folks, if you want to join the discussion, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Stephen from Maryland, we lost you. I don't know if you hung up or not, but if you want to call back in, I would like to hear from you. I want to play a little bit more from the video because I think, first of all, it illustrates when the tactics of a protest take over from the message of the protest. Now, maybe they felt that they could not otherwise get their message heard. But I worry about that. And I say this as someone who has, let's face it, thrown a lot of protests. And there's always been those that peacefully protest, like, for example, most of the people in Ferguson, the vast majority of them. And then there are people that, well, act, let's say, kind of rudely. I'd like you to hear the voice you're going to hear. I'm going to play more from the clip I played. Is the man who is hosting the event, which is actually about Social Security and Medicare. And he's trying to reason with them. If you watch the video, and you really should watch the Raw video without the commentary. You see the women sort of physically hang on him and demand to speak. Let me play for you the audio as it went further.
We are going to let you on the mic.
Do not silence her.
So the woman says, do not silence her. The man says, we are going to let you on the mic.
All right, so we are trying to be reasonable. We are trying to be reasonable. We are trying to be reasonable.
We are reasonable.
We are trying. We're going to give you. We're going
to. So as they say, we are trying to be reasonable. We're going to let you on the mic. The women are screaming. They're pulling at him. They're acting extremely aggressively. I don't think, and I have to say, I agree with the leaders of the Black Lives protester who distanced from the Black Lives movement, who distanced themselves from these women, said these women don't represent us. And I don't think they do represent us. I don't think they represent those of us who want to stop the violence. But let's finish the clip.
To be reasonable.
We are reasonable.
We're going to give you, we're going to let you on the mic. We are going to give you the mic.
We will, after Senator Sanders.
So this is the organizer. Stephen called in and said, what about the organizers? They let them speak. The organizer said, we'll let you speak after Senator Sanders. Frankly, that was my proposal, to let them speak after Senator Sanders. I think these women wanted to be arrested. I think they really, really, really wanted to be arrested and were shocked that they were allowed to take over the rally. Let's finish the clip.
After Senator Sanders. We're going to let you on the mic.
We are going to give you the mic.
We will, after Senator Sanders. After Senator Sanders.
Do not tell me what to do.
I just thought it was very interesting when the woman says, do not tell me what to do. To me, that's kind of like saying you break into someone's home and they tell you to leave and you say, do not tell me what to do. Or you step on someone's foot and they say, could you get off my foot? And then they say, do not tell me what to do. It's just very aggressive, and it's very aggressive against an ally, a supporter, someone who's fought for racial justice all of his life. It doesn't make sense to me.
After Senator Sanders. Okay. All right.
Let her speak.
All right.
Let her speak.
All right.
Let her speak.
We're shutting it down. You are shutting it down. You are disrupting this event. You are disrupting this event.
Go ahead.
We will.
Let her speak.
No, you are setting it down. We are shutting.
We will
shut it down. You are shutting it down. No. How long are you gonna go?
So then you see Bernie Sanders walk up to the woman and say, hold it, ma'am. Let's make an arrangement here. And she says, no, I'm not going to talk with you. And that's when they basically give up. All right. I know we could spend too much time on the tactics. I think it's important to recognize that these two women do not represent the movement. And indeed, there was an apology from someone who is very active with the Black Lives Matter campaign that apologized to Bernie Sanders. And the real movement very much did publicly apologize, and they issued a statement. This is the – let's get the name of the guy right. This is – I think it's Sean – is it Sean Jordan? No. Here, on the website. So the name of the group that disrupted Bernie Sanders is not part of the Black Lives Matter movement. Its name, in fact, is called Outside Agitators 206. Outside Agitators 206 supports basically revolution. Their goal is really to declare war on the Democratic Party. And in the word of its movement, they want to declare war on the NAACP, the Urban League, most black local churches, labor organizations, fraternities, and sororities, not to mention Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Push Coalition and King Rat, Al Sharpton's National Action Networks as annexes of the Democratic Party. So what happened was some radical revolutionary group that wants to attack liberals, attack progressives, attack Bernie Sanders, who wants to attack black churches, attack the mainstream Black Lives Matter movement, has hijacked the movement. And now we find people saying, well, you know, maybe we should have let them speak. No, they're not even part of the movement. And part of the danger is, I think, that liberals face is when we want to reach out and we want people to be heard, and at the same time, when people are acting in a way that is not appropriate, that is rude, that is not helpful, we back off like Bernie Sanders did. And I got to tell you, President Obama doesn't do that. President Obama, when he was heckled by actually a transgender activist, something supporting a cause I very much believe in. I very much believe that transgender people have a right to be here. This was a transgender immigrant who'd come from Mexico. And I understand how difficult it is for transgender people, particularly in foreign countries, although it's certainly bad for them in the United States, and had a point to make. And frankly, a point that isn't heard that often. But when that person heckled President Obama, he said, "This is my house. You come in my house." Here's the thing. If a politician does not allow for questions, then I'm more sympathetic to the hecklers. But if a politician allows for questions, allows for dialogue, allows for, in this case, activists to take the mic. They said, "We'll give you the microphone after Senator Sanders is over." Then there shouldn't be this kind of protest. I think these organizations, frankly, there's a reason why they don't protest Republicans. I actually think they're out more to take down liberals and progressives than even to take up the cause of Black Lives Matter. One thing's for sure, the Black Lives Matter has said that these two women, who accuse the audience of white supremacist liberalism, that this behavior is, quote, inappropriate and counterproductive, and we will not support it. This is a petition on change.org by activists for Black Lives Matter. So please, let's not make the mistake of claiming these two women are part of a movement that is a very, very important movement, particularly 1 year after Ferguson, particularly when we need justice for Sandra Bland, particularly when we need to get body cameras on every police officer in this nation. This is Mark Levine. You want to call in 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Still time to call in if you want. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Talking about the Black Lives Matter movement, specifically about the disruption of the Bernie Sanders campaign. I talked in detail about Bernie Sanders yesterday and his history of fighting for injustice of all kinds, including racial injustice. Obviously, his biggest push is economic injustice. But as he points out, they often are parallel. Oftentimes, it is poor black people that get the worst of both worlds. But let's face it, poor white people get the shaft, and certainly rich black people also get injustice in America. Indeed, Sandra Bland was a very well-educated black woman. If you've seen the footage of her arguing with the police officer, you see basically a woman saying, well, you know, why do I have to... do what you say. You know, what are the reasons? Can I call my lawyer, for example? In fact, let me play for you a little bit of that clip. Because to me, the police officer is... let me play a little bit of that. If you haven't heard this, it's worthwhile you're listening to this.
North Jets, I'm good. She started yanking away, then kicked me, so I took her straight to the ground.
Yeah, and there you got it, right there. Yeah.
Okay, this isn't the part that I wanted. Sorry, that's what happens sometimes when you do it on the fly. What you see if you watch that video is a woman being very patient and calm and saying, you know, why are you stopping me? You know, what right do you have to stop me? And the police officer says, basically, you put a cigarette out. And she says, you know, why do I have to put the cigarette out? But she does put the cigarette out. And then he asked her to leave the car. She said, why am I under arrest? And he wouldn't tell her. And she said, what am I being charged with? And he wouldn't tell her. And she said, well, I'd like to call my lawyer. At which point he demands that she get out of the car. And and she says, well, let me call my lawyer. He says, no, get out of the car right now. Am I under arrest? He says she's under arrest. And then, of course, he grabs her. We all know what happened. Sandra Bland was found dead 3 days later. If you listen to that exchange, you'll see pretty much the opposite of the activists, they weren't Black Lives Matter activists, what was it called? OOA, I forget what the organization, the revolutionary organization that took down Bernie Sanders was called. You find the police, they very much are acting like the police officer. They're taking someone being reasonable and polite, and they're being they're trying to provoke a confrontation. Maybe their goal is to treat Bernie Sanders like police treat black people every day. I don't know. That would actually be if they explained it that way. But in general, we have to talk with each other as Americans. And particularly those of us that agree with each other have to be able to talk. I actually think even those that disagree with each other, we have to talk with each other. Now, it's fascinating what happened when you compare what happened with Bernie Sanders, where they basically allowed the activists to take over the rally. And what happened when they interrupted Jeb Bush's rally. Now, Bush had met with the members of the Black Lives Matter movement. That was smart. So did Hillary Clinton prior to her events. And they, of course, interrupted his – I shouldn't say of course. They interrupted his rally as well. And there's some reports that the audience shouted back, White Lives Matter. Ooh, boy. Hope that's not the case. But it shows you the difference between, well, the way conservatives deal with this kind of thing and the way liberals deal with this kind of thing. Here's the thing. We should all be marching together on the same side. The answer is Ferguson, Black Lives Matter folks should invite Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Martin O'Malley, invite Jeb Bush, heck, even invite Donald Trump. Invite all of them to walk in solidarity down the streets of Ferguson with a Black Lives Matter banner in front of them. See what they say. I guarantee you Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton will do it. They'd be honored to do it. If the goal is not to take down the Democratic Party, take down America, violent revolution, if the goal actually is to draw attention to the cause, what better way than to invite these politicians to come to a place like Ferguson, which is a very symbolic place, and march? I guarantee you Bernie Sanders will do it. I think Hillary Clinton will do it as well. But that's not their goal. The goal is to disrupt, at least of these two women who came in there. And then if they refuse, then I think what you do is you demand a chance to speak with them, to speak publicly, to ask them questions at the rally. See if they refuse that. If they refuse that, I think at the very least you ask a chance to speak when everyone's done. Only if you're completely shut out and the campaign won't talk with you, the campaign won't speak with you, the campaign won't acknowledge you, won't deal with your issues, the candidate will not speak about black lives. Only if you're completely shut out do I think some of these tactics make some sense. But they should never be the first priority. You should never begin negotiations with someone by yelling at them and threatening them. I just don't think that's how you begin a conversation, particularly with your allies. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Andrea from Palm Springs on line one. How are you?
Yes. Hello, Mark. It appears that the Bush campaign was putting out some disinformation about meeting with Black Lives Matter.
Oh, really? They
representatives.
Didn't.
Hello?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. They
hello?
Didn't. I'm listening. Go ahead. They didn't do it?
It's being reported, so you might want to be checking sources out there.
Fair enough.
In Tom Hartman's program, he cited several sources that they did meet with some African-American representatives of various groups, but nothing to do with Black Lives Matter.
Oh, okay. Well, no, that's very important. Thank you for the correction.
Maybe they can't tell the difference.
Maybe not. Maybe not. You know, that's actually an important point, and I'm really glad you brought it up. I was going from MSNBC, which I thought was a pretty reliable source, but if they didn't, that's actually very interesting to me, and I didn't know that.
Yes, so that's all I know right now, and I want to give a little shout-out to John Paul if he's listening, because he is a dear friend, and that's all I have to say.
Can I ask you, Andrea, what you thought of the disruption of Bernie Sanders' speech? What did you think of that?
It clearly was people that have an agenda, and that's what people do. What I think it illuminated, and what was a win-win as far as the Sanders campaign and liberals in general, is that how tolerant we all are to listen to all of this. Can you imagine any Republican rally?
No.
That would have allowed that.
No, they would have gotten their heads knocked in.
Gotten 50 feet near the stage.
And there would have been violence, I think. I think there would have been violence. I think they would be violently turned away.
It just spoke very well to how we progressives want to be inclusive.
Okay. Well, thank you, Andrea. I agree with you. I worry about the precedent. I worry about every single speech being disruptible. I mean, if these two women can get up and give their speech, then okay.
I don't think that's going to happen again.
You don't?
Because, first of all, I worry about Bernie's security.
Well, I do too.
That's a little concern for me.
Yeah, because if they could get there, what about someone with a weapon?
Again.
Yeah. Well, but let me ask you this: why shouldn't environmental activists? There's a lot of environmental needs. Or female activists, or gay activists, or immigrant activists, or any of the other groups within the Democratic Party that I support. Why wouldn't they do the same thing? You don't think it's going to happen?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. We all have our axe to grind, and there can be a forum for that. And the Democrats would be the most inclusive, accepting, welcoming party to create an environment for that in the proper auditorium and forum.
But, right. Well, I think that's the answer.
I don't see that happening again.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. I think, again, the right answer was, and I thought about it because, you know, I am going to be a delegate. I am a budding politician. And I think about what I would say is, look, I will have a forum with you solely on the issue of Black Lives Matter. Let's set a date. Let's set a time. Let's find a place. And we will spend 2 hours or as long as I can stand into the night talking about this issue. But that's, you know, here we're talking about Social Security in this hearing. So, you know, we will do that. Let's set the time and date. And the same for the environmental activists, and the same for any cause I believe in, raising the minimum wage, you know, stopping gun violence. Let's set that. But I just don't like the precedent of hijacking one for the other, because I think it coarsens our political discourse. It makes us not listen
to
each other.
What I love is in London, there is in Hyde Park, every Saturday or Sunday, there's Speaker's Corner where everyone gets up and gets to rail against whatever their issue is.
Absolutely.
And I wish we had a television channel or some kind of permanent venue.
We do. Cable
dedicated.
Public access. You can go on cable public access, and you should do that, and also form yourself a podcast. Some people have their own YouTube channels. There are venues available for free speech, and I encourage people to exercise them. Sorry to end on this, Andrea. We're about out of time. This is Mark Levine. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk. I'm going to be Monday down in Richmond, and I'll let you know about that on Monday. This is Mark Levine signing off.